You're listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.
Well, hi, everybody. Welcome to another thrilling episode of the Toilet of Hell Radio Show. Man, we got a good one for you here. What we're going to do is we're going to offer you metal-related diversions that make your commute suck just a little bit less. On other shows, but not this one, we interview artists. On other shows, we discuss the history of the genre you all know and love. But no, on this one, it's entirely about things that are happening right now. This is one of the news episodes. So if this is your first episode, thanks for joining with us. And if this is your 100th episode, you know, thanks for sticking with us. You can always get more episodes of this show via Patreon. Patreon.com/Toilet of Hell, I think. Anyway, there are bonus episodes there if you give us money. Also, if you like what you do, you know, you can always, you know, rate and review us on iTunes. Say nice things about us and then tell your buddy Chad, hey, listen to Toilet Radio. And then you guys can have more things to discuss when you're, you know, going on fishing trips together or whatever it is you do with your friend Chad. Anyway, I'm Joe Thrashenkill. With me, I've got my good friends, 365 Days of Horror and Britticide. How's it going, fellas?
Pretty good. I'm trying to, like, pick up guitar again, try to learn some guitar. I, like, didn't touch it for, like, months, but now it's, like, I'm practicing again. And that's really all I've been doing. And I don't have, like, a life, so that's what I do now. That's my shut-in hobby for the moment, aside from video games and other crap.
I feel you. All of my hobbies are shut-in hobbies. I, too, have been playing a fair amount of guitar lately, but I've been doing, you know, the... I hate to call it neo-folk because there's that, you know, whole Nazi connotation, but non-traditional acoustic guitar tunings and finger-picking and making weird things happen with that, so not metal in the least. How about you, Jordan?
I'm doing okay. I saw Super Troopers 2 this weekend.
Ooh. Is that already out?
Yeah. Well, it came out on 420, so.
Oh. I had Super Troopers on VHS. That's a long gap in time from the first to the sequel.
11 years.
Yeah. That's how it should be, though. If you're going to make, like, a second movie, you got to give it some time to brew, let the nostalgia factor get in there. You can't just jump down and do, like, the yearly sequel. Otherwise, you're, like, the fucking Saw franchise.
Hold on. I gotta push my glasses up the bridge of my nose and correct you.
Oh, great.
Super Troopers came out in 2001, so we're at 17 years.
Okay. I don't care enough to, like, be mad about
this. This is important. Ugh, chronology matters. Anyway.
Super Troopers came out 17 years ago. Like, if you had, like, a kid who was born the day after Super Troopers came out, right now he'd have a shitty attitude and not be doing his algebra homework. That's how fucking long ago.
Yeah.
Super Troopers came out.
Almost able to be drafted.
Right. Just about there. About to be tried as an adult, so.
So get all those crimes out you can get now, because they can't.
Are they going to be sent to Syria or North Korea? What are the odds?
Well, I think the North Korea is being de-escalated at the moment. So the odds are, I would say Syria or, you know, the smart money is on Iran, even though there's... absolutely nothing. We have no business being there whatsoever. Lots of people are real horny to get in there, you know, really bomb some things, shake things up a little bit. So
I'm going to say Switzerland. They've been talking about us behind our back.
Yeah.
Talk shit, get shot, Switzerland.
Not to go too political, but I think the North Korea-South Korea situation is interesting because the de-escalation is certainly nothing to do with us. It's just, you know... South Korea saw what our respected honorable leader has been saying to their respected honorable leader, and they just got out of their house and they're like, whoa, 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 okay, let's figure this out. They did everything they had to like make sure that didn't get fucked over the way it was totally going to get fucked over.
Well, I've heard that because I was curious, I was thinking, well, what if maybe like you know the. Kim Jong-un just needed, like, a buddy, you know, with Trump to get the confidence to do it. But no, it's actually Moon Jae-in, the South Korean president, who he actually like ran on a platform of like, let's end this 70-year war.
Yeah, let's so, chill. Please.
So, despite our best, you know, efforts, apparently this de-escalation has nothing to do with us. Bummer. We couldn't insert ourselves diplomatically again. So we'll try again with another country.
next time. We'll get them next time.
So I wanted to talk about obviously the biggest news in metal from this 420 just a couple of days ago. We've all been talking about it. Everybody's really into it. You know, it took everybody by surprise, and they just can't get enough of it. I'm talking about the new Five Finger Death Punch single, Champagne. Have you guys heard that yet?
Hell yeah, man! I've been chugging tons of champagne like I always do on April 20th, you know, and like, I haven't heard it, but you know, I'm excited too.
It's important to point out that the song isn't Champagne; it's Sham, space, pain.
So not Champagne. It's Sham, as in Sam the Sham, and pain, right, as in T-Pain.
Yes,
like okay. It's like something that doesn't hurt. I don't know. I have no context here. I haven't heard it, but I'm sure I will.
I believe that it's a takeoff of that that old toast, champagne for my real friends, real pain for my sham friends, also known as a Fall Out Boy song from, I think, 2005.
Oh, cool. At least that's cool. They got their esoteric references, you know. That's, you got to be a thinking man to be a Five Finger Death Punch fan.
But I don't think he even got that far. I don't think he ever heard that saying. Whoever wrote the lyrics to the song, I think he was just like, champagne, I love drinking champagne, champagne in my face and all over my beard. Wait, champagne sounds like champagne. Whoa.
Realize.
And then he did some rap arm movements. So anyway, Champagne has been released, and the world will never be the same. It is... it's probably the worst song I've heard in recent memory. How about you guys?
It's bad even by Five Finger Death Punch standards.
Really? They managed to lower the bar. So they still have all those original members that couldn't stop doing heroin and fighting each other, right? Like, it's still...
Well, I think it's just Ivan Moody that does heroin and can't stop fighting everybody else. Everybody else is like, oh, this is a good paycheck and I need this. He's the guy who can't get it together. But you know, when you've got... when you've got a real firebrand, a lyrical genius, and an unparalleled stage presence like Ivan Moody, you just got to do everything you can to hold on to him. I mean, where else could you find a 5'4" guy with monster tattoos all over him?
We've been over this. It's Buffalo Wild Wings at any given happy hour.
Yeah, just ask, any of you pussies want to fight? And then grab the first guy that steps up.
Right. Just lean down and pick him up, and then just put him in your baby Bjorn, and he'll then walk out with him.
He'll be wearing a green top hat and a green three-piece suit, possibly guarding a pot of gold.
Or like a pot of All That Remains discography.
Yeah. Well, I feel like we ought to crack into this a little bit, because I've never been more certain that I was reading like a suicide note written in crayon than with this song. It's pretty loaded with pathos. It's tough. It's real tough.
Yikes. So we got the lyrics handy, do we?
We do. Jordan, do you want to do the honors?
Sure. And feel free, please, for the love of God, feel free to interrupt me at any point to discuss these wonderful lyrics.
Okay. Oh, you got it, man. I love interrupting you guys.
Five Finger Death Punch. Sham. Pain.
We're off to a great start.
Yeah.
I never cared about the money.
Okay,
never really.
I'm
gonna
stop you
fame.
Right there.
Go ahead.
I don't think that's true.
He never cared about the money?
I think he cares quite a bit about the money. I think it's very important. And I think that it drives everything Five Finger Death Punch has literally ever done, because it's the most compacted, sellable piece of like hard rock stupidity you could ever just shove down people's throats, right?
So, I mean, in literary or in I guess in plot terms, this would be considered we're opening with a red herring, which is pretty bold, I would say, for this band to start with a feint and a deflection. But let's continue and let's see where it goes.
Perhaps I'm taking it out of context and I should let you go on, Jordan.
Yeah.
So yes, I never cared about the money, never really needed fame. You think it would have changed me, but I've always stayed the same.
That's tragic.
Okay. So he could afford heroin before.
The label tried to sue me, which is true. That's a fact.
Yeah. It's Prospect Park. Yeah.
Yep. A record label that has like three or four bands on it, but that's a different story for a different day. Mm-hmm. TMZ tried to screw me.
Did they, in fact, try to screw Ivan Moody?
That I don't know.
Okay. I'm sure they just reported the fact.
Just shoved the camera in his face and said, say something stupid.
or they just said, be yourself.
Same thing.
Right.
Blabbermouth can fucking suck it because they never fucking knew me.
Well, it's so Blabbermouth, Blabbermouth isn't like has no opinion. They
it's
just
2018. How are we still talking about Blabbermouth?
Yeah, well, they don't interject in any opinion in anything. They just put out little releases of here's the guy from Ice Earth farting.
Like here's what Lizzie Borden's up to.
Right. The only cool thing about Blabbermouth is they're literally just an aggregation site. They don't do anything else. They just report the stories as they come to them. There's really no slant on anything as far as I've seen. So I don't know. Maybe he meant something else.
I think he meant the comments section, which that's not Blabbermouth's fault.
Yeah. And it's just the Facebook of Blabbermouth. Like, I think it's just their embedded Facebook comments. So, oh, well, we're off to a poor start already. So continue.
Everybody seems like they're waiting for me to die. Talk shit behind my back. Can't look me in the eye.
It's too short. He can't quite get down to that level.
They say I'm overrated, that I should have already faded. Give a shit about it all, because I love to be so hated.
Okay, we got one for the haters. I appreciate that.
All in all, it's a good life. I got what I want. I can't complain. I'm living the good life. A toast to you now. It's all sham pain.
Okay. So there was that feint that we were talking about at the beginning. He's like, you know what? Haters, back off. I've got everything I need. I've got a good life, and I really can't complain despite all of the two bars that I went on complaining.
Complaining, right.
Yeah. Like, we have specific evidence of you complaining, just a few sentences right above this one.
Do you guys remember the Ashley Simpson song? And this is maybe you were like walking around a grocery store. I don't think you were, queuing it on your iPod or anything. But it was that song, Don't Feel Sorry for Me, where she's talking about how her parents were kind of overbearing maybe and pushed her too hard to, get exactly as rich and famous as she got. And, she'd be like, don't feel sorry for me. And I'm like, don't worry. I fucking don't. At all. I'm here like bagging groceries and I'm like sleeping in a van and you're a fucking A-list celebrity that became an A-list celebrity because your fucking D-list celebrity sister married some D-list celebrity moron and they had an A-list stupid show. So you've literally had everything handed to you.
The only Ashley Simpson song that I recall is whatever her real big hit was. If you played it in reverse, the pre-chorus, it's like, at least not today. And if you rewind it, it says, hail this Nazi land.
Sick.
That's all. So Ashley Simpson, OG and SBM.
Sick. Great. That's awesome.
She's the blonde-haired, blue-eyed snow queen that they've all wanted to make Taylor Swift.
Yeah. Right. Oh, yeah. Taylor Swift is Ashley Simpson 2.0.
Right. Perfect. But yeah, it's that same sort of, it's like, I have no reason to complain, so here's my complaints. Interesting. But I think that it's, champagne might have a deeper meaning here. Maybe this guy is,
Not being charitable enough. Because it's clear, like, to anybody with two brain cells to rub together, like, okay, so we had this opening verse basically saying, like, this is shitty, things suck, and then immediately, like, reverting back with that, you know what, can't complain. It's being ironic, you know? He's making a decision to, like, you know, use some wordplay here, use some literary devices.
So really, Ivan Moody's miserable. He's hurting. He's trying to let the world know that this gets to him. You know, you're cutting him down, and not all the money in the world can buy enough validation that people aren't giving him.
So let's continue. Maybe this will go somewhere else. We're already on quite the journey.
Right.
I barely get to eat, and when I finally get to sleep, I get drug out of bed for another meet and greet.
It seems like that's a difficult life. Nobody's letting him eat or sleep. And then when he tries to sleep, he's got to go talk to his Chud fans. Tough. It's pretty tough.
Yeah. Well, I mean, most of us have to get out of bed at some point. It's called a job. But I don't know. I don't know what kind of situation he's in where he never gets to fucking eat anything. Like, how is that possible?
They just toss him in a cage and ship him around from place to place.
I mean, ask anybody who's on tour how long you have to sit in a fucking van from place to place. I mean, get your My Little Pony lunchbox out, Ivan, and get yourself an apple. Fucking chill out and eat it. You have time.
Well, I'm wondering if, like, because it sounds like, you know, the conditions he's describing are incredibly hazardous. I mean, he might as well be working for Foxconn. Like, he needs a suicide net to keep from, you know, diving out with how bad this is. So perhaps suing Prospect Park. Like, he had good reason. Like, hey, you guys will not let me eat or sleep. Those two things that we all know and love necessary for life.
Right. So no reason to complain, but now he's got more reasons to complain.
He's starving and sleep deprived.
Right, that'll make anybody cranky.
I shake the hand of every fan, put on a happy face, spread so fucking thin, I'm all over the place. I hate riding on the bus, hate flying in the planes, sedate myself just to kill the pain. I have no life, forgot the hope, the whole thing's turned into one big joke.
So that seems pretty dire. He references his drug abuse, sedation, to deal with the pain of having to basically live this lifestyle that he does not like. He hates the fans. He hates touring. He has no life outside of this shit. So, yeah, that seems pretty bad, actually.
Yeah, sucks. Here's a really... Damn, I just had the best idea. Don't fucking do it. How about that? How about stop? We would all be very happy. It's like a scratch my back, scratch yours thing. No more Five Finger Death Punch. Awesome. Please stop.
I mean, he could easily just do a solo album on his own, and I'm sure people would buy it.
Yeah, and then he could do things on his own terms. I mean, he could probably fucking produce it and release it himself.
Yeah, throw it up on Bandcamp. You'd still get people to buy it, and you don't have to go on tour. You don't have to meet the people that apparently give you money that you absolutely hate.
Guarantee you, if he just threw it on Bandcamp himself, he could pay whatever he owes the IRS, I'm sure of it.
So, Ivan, let me throw this out at you, because maybe your business manager sucks, but I know that you've made a little bit of cash with this thing. The just real money, real estate, or franchising. Fucking buy your own Buffalo Wild Wings, you know? Your fans... Yeah. You could pack the place just by promising to show up once every couple of months, you know?
At least invest in the stock.
What he could do is he could set up franchises for Five Finger Death Punch bands throughout the country.
Oh, like basically creating a franchise of Five Finger Death Punch and just lookalikes performing like across the country.
Like the animatronics at Chuck E. Cheese.
Yeah. Yeah, the Showbiz Rockafire band.
Okay, just like aggro, you know, pro-military, salute the flag band in Seattle is the same one that's in Detroit and Miami. And you can give them different names if you want, but they're all under the, like, Ivan Moody umbrella.
Put that all in a Buffalo Wild Wings, and you got yourself some serious business venture, fellas.
Yeah, man, you could serve like the Blue Plate Lives Matter special, just make bank.
All right. Is there anything else?
Freedom waffles.
Right.
Freedom. All right, so we have the chorus, and then there's one more little bit we're talking about. I mean no disrespect, but I ain't picking up the check. Taking selfies on your phone while you're breathing down my neck. It's getting pretty fucking old, and I'm almost nearly done. I'm glad you're fucking happier when I was number one.
What's he... So he... Again, he just hates the fucking fans.
Yeah.
Which is fair. I hate the fans, too.
Yeah.
Five Finger Death Punch fans are truly horrible.
I had no idea we had so much in common.
Yeah.
And
the song is all done, like... towards like a bouncy, muffled down guitar riff, and it's like borderline Ivan Moody rapping.
Yeah, it's very sing-songy in a way that is childish. I don't know, man. I don't know what to make of this, except it seems like he's extremely done with this shit, and I don't know, man. This could be it for him. Fortunately, our good buddy Zoltan Bathory explained a little bit about this song, if you'll permit me to read his comments on it.
So I mean, was the backlash bad enough that he had to come out and say something?
No, I think when the song was released, like in concurrence with the song being released, he put out a statement about it. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
This song is a lyrical snapshot of probably the biggest yet most chaotic year of this band's career. Everyone has a different way of dealing with the moments when life hands them lemons. Some complain, some make lemonade. Us, we pour gasoline on it and then hit it with a rocket launcher.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Those are words.
He probably contributed to the lyrics on this one, too.
Yeah.
So
a lot of them.
In reading the credits for this, I realize the writers, the entire band is credited, including Ivan Greening, which would be the real name of Ivan Moody. If you have to pick a pen name, a tough guy pen name, and let me tell you this, because I've walked the walk. I've been there myself. What do you do when you have a stupid name? You give yourself a fake tough guy name that rules. I'm Joe Thrash and Kill. That kicks ass. I thrash and I kill. You're Ivan Moody. You're irritable on the bus, and you grump a lot. You gotta go way cooler.
Ivan Bitchfest.
Yeah. Might as well Ivan be like... Ivan Midol. I would say change the name. Go with like...
Now we're really gonna get an angry letter.
Good. We'll open up our mail, and we'll be like, who wrote this in crayon? Ivan Midol.
All of the R's are backwards, like in corn.
Toys R Us.
Yeah, tight. Anyway, what can we? I don't know if we have anything else that we can add to this masterpiece, man. Do you guys have any final thoughts on it?
How stupid can you be if you're a Five Finger Death Punch fan and you hear all that and you're just like, hell yeah. Like,
and how stupid can you be? I've got Blabbermouth opened up right now with the comments on this new song.
We got any goodies?
Yeah, we do, actually.
All right. Let's take
James McClain says, fuck all the Five Finger Death Punch hater libtard pussies.
Sure.
Okay. And makes sense. The first reply to that is from Derek Nybarger. What in the hell makes you think that people who don't like Five Finger Death Punch are liberals? I'm a lifelong Democrat, and I've liked them and attended several of their concerts since their first album. I've never heard one thing about libtards hating Five Finger Death Punch. If you go by common stereotypes, libtards would be 1,000 times more likely to be haters of black metal bands than they would be an extremely safe mainstream hard rock act like Five Finger Death Punch. Wow, you showed him by not showing him.
Yeah.
I think there's a point somewhere in there.
What was the first guy's name?
James McClain.
Yeah, James McClain. They're going to write the next song like, James McClain, you fucking suck. We don't want your support. go suck a dick, yeah. And like he'll just be like, hell yeah, fuck the haters.
You know he's gonna rhyme McLean with insane.
Yeah.
Oh.
Is there rhyming in there really? That isn't like Dr. Seuss level nonsense.
No, it's the most basic of songwriting.
It's beautiful.
Well, yeah, the new Five Finger Death Punch album is called Injustice for None. It'll be out, I don't know, who gives a fuck, sometime or other. Ivan, do the show. Come talk to us.
Yeah, let's figure this out, Ivan. Let's unpack this.
We'll hash it. We'll get your career on track, buddy.
Yeah.
You don't need help. You
need someone, and we're here for you. That's all we're saying.
Like, oh, we may have bad opinions, and, you know, we may be a little bit mean, but we're also great idea men. You know, every show we just come up with 10 great money making ideas. So, yeah. Just throwing that out there.
That's right. All
right. Yesterday was that day we all know and love, 421. Am I right? 421, that's the day that everybody blazes it, right?
Sick. Yeah. That's how that works.
Did you in fact blaze it, Bruno?
No, I didn't. I didn't have any. It's just kind of strange to me. I mean, like I get it's cool to kind of celebrate it as a concept. But usually, if you're a pothead, you just kind of smoke it every day, like after work, and just chill. So it's so funny that it's like, hell yeah, man, everybody, it's 420, my dudes. And then you just smoke and do the exact same shit you do literally every day. So, but I listened to the new Sleep album like a billion times.
We should at least comment on that in case anybody didn't have any idea. And that Sleep, you know, the band known for the huffing the marijuanas, they put out their first record in like, shit, what was it, 15 years? Is a total surprise drop on 420. So I have not listened to it yet. What is your take on it?
It's really something special. It's like, I don't know if you remember when Beavis and Butthead came back for like 10 minutes.
I do.
But,
yes.
It's so interesting. You got this, this thing that was, almost two decades old, and then all of a sudden it just picked up like nothing happened, like just totally, like there's been no change to anybody involved. It just all of a sudden just picked up steam, like it was episode, I don't know, next number, you know what I mean? And this is that kind of an album. It's so true to form. It's so typical Sleep in all the best ways. That's all I can say. Okay. It's just if you like Sleep, you're gonna fucking love the album.
That's awesome, then. That's like a rare bit of good news.
Yeah. But if you don't like Sleep, which is fucking everybody with a mouth whenever anyone's happy about anything.
Okay, so I didn't comment on any of it because nobody needs to know. Like, I've never been a big fan or anything like that, so it's cool that it was released and that there are so many people that are like into it. You know, personally, it doesn't, you know, I haven't listened to it. Maybe I'm wrong, but the band has never really done a whole lot for me.
And hey, that's fine. That's the opinion you're supposed to have when you don't like something. I mean,
Jordan, did you peep it?
Yeah, sure.
I haven't yet. I was kind of letting the hype die down a little bit. You know, it came out and lots of people were going nuts for it, and I need to give myself some space before I really listen to it. I can't recall ever really listening to Sleep. I'm sure I have at some point, but it's just like gone one ear and out the other. So I don't really have much of an opinion. And as someone who has never smoked the marijuanas, like that makes zero difference to me.
Yeah. I have a buddy who's straight edge, but he's also a huge Sleep fan. He's like a huge doom metal guy. He's crazy into it. He actually was the drummer for our band, but he's like dead on straight edge. It's kind of funny.
Yeah, but I mean, I like doom, but I just, you know, the whole, oh my God, I'm going to smoke marijuana and then listen to Dope Smoker at 420 on 420. So, it's very tiresome. The whole day is tiresome for someone like me.
We all have traditions, you know. So Sleep is one of those bands that, like, my normie friends that don't listen to metal at all, they love Sleep. And it's very confusing to me. Like, this is a perplexing thing to, like, look through their vinyl collection and see, like, you know, Vampire Weekend and then dope smoker.
Yeah, it's
now, do they listen to it, or is it like a collectible?
That's a good question. That could just be, you know, one of the bits of metal that non-metal people fetishize, you know, like a Metallica t-shirt.
There's a lot of novelty to a song that's like an hour long, like having a record that, you know, has a song that just doesn't end. But yeah, Sleep is a really great kind of passive listen. They're not very abrasive. They're not very tough. They're just a really cool, slow, doomy stoner kind of rock band. That's just I've always thought they were really chill. So, I mean, if I'm ever in the mood to just kind of clean the house, hang out with friends, chill out and not like, you know, focus on every note of a song, I think Sleep's a really good band for that kind of stuff.
I'll have to maybe revisit. I decided that I would step outside of my comfort zone, and I took one hit of a marijuana last night. And I am.
How much did you throw up?
I didn't throw up this time, thankfully. Yeah. I don't know if I've ever told the story on there about when I was just out of college. I went to a buddy's house and took one hit of weed and then got sensory overload so bad that every time I opened my eyes or moved my head, I vomited for hours and hours and hours. Didn't get that sick, but I definitely put myself into the void, and it was very difficult coming out of it. I don't know if I'm out yet. people out there that like smoking weed and you think it's in a relaxing, enjoyable thing, please tell me what I'm doing wrong, because I feel like I'm missing out on something good and instead just willingly putting myself into hell.
Do you know what's laced with anything, was it?
Yeah, do you know what strain it was or anything?
No, well, yeah, my buddy, who is very, very knowledgeable of the weeds, he gave us an indica of some kind.
Indica, yeah. Indica can be kind of crazy if you're not used to it.
Well, he said that, like, that's the one that he says indica, like in the couch, like you sink into the couch, which I did, but it was a very, it was being trapped into the couch. I wasn't able to enjoy it.
It's a mind blower, you know. I mean, like, you, the reason you're on the couch is because you don't want to fucking move, because, you know, death is around every corner. Sometimes it's, I don't know. It depends on like how much you smoke, really.
Okay. He dipped it in something called embalming fluid.
Well,
and it was the worst high I've ever had in my life.
I have two when I was in high school, and that was a very, very, very bad time.
Yeah, real bad.
Even worse than that. But no, my lady, she smoked three times as much as I did and had, you know, just a fine time.
It's just different with everybody, you know. Yeah. Some people are a lot more sensitive to that kind of stuff. I've always been sensitive to it, but I've done it enough that, you know, I've always just have a good time. I know it's going to be okay. It's really hard when you're not used to it.
Hearing all this just makes me so glad I've never bothered doing it, because that does not sound like a fun time.
Well, honestly, Jordan, like for hours I was thinking, you know, Jordan has the right idea. I need to go straight edge.
Yeah.
You just got to picture me just standing like by your shoulder, just kind of arms folded, shaking my head kind of sad.
Because I was
go ahead.
Sorry, I was playing the new Mario game, and I was just – it got too overwhelming for me. So.
That was my next advice, is that you got to consume something passive. Video games, they get kind of active. They get kind of scary. So
I put on the 1998 Nicolas Cage joint Snake Eyes.
Millimeter.
I love 9mm. That would have put me in a terrible place, though, if I watched that last night. Just the DSBM, or not DSBM, BDSM murder cult.
Depressive suicidal.
While I was high one night, I came up with an excellent money-making venture, and I know this because when I woke up the next day, it was written down in my phone. But it was a life alert for stoners. So how it works is, it's like the little badge an old person would wear in the shower. If they fell down, they'd, you know, it would be right to the life alert expert, and then they would contact 911. But instead, the expert is me. So if you're just really high, you're just like, you know, someone's like, I'm dying. I'm going to die. I can't breathe. I forgot how breathing works. I would just be like, dude, eat a cookie, and listen to some Sleep and just think about the song. Call me back if anything else goes wrong.
Until you get the one person who is actually dying.
Yeah, yeah. And then, well, you got to make him sign like a waiver or something.
Right. The 0% of people who smoke weed. We'll find them. They're out there. It's a niche market.
I was still thinking about money-making ideas last night in the grips of terror, because that's what all I do. For some reason, I was thinking about when I woke up this morning still. I decided that I was going to write a self-help book for people that are hopelessly addicted to video games. I was going to title it Don't Be an NPC. So that's...
Is one of the chapters just called Porn? Question mark?
I hadn't considered that, but maybe we ought to co-write this book.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I found my list. It's still in like Google Keep. I had to write it because I couldn't figure out, you know, it's like if you have Google Keep, it's an app that's just a note-taking app. Mm-hmm. So if you hit the right button, then you have to write what you're thinking like it's a pen. So it's very scratchy writing. I got like Life Alert for stoners. Mm-hmm. I got Transvenger, who was supposed to be like a trans superhero. That didn't go anywhere, but I thought it was a great idea at the time.
No, there's potential for that. There's potential.
Right, and then I wrote down The Midnight, which is just like an 80s sort of synth band with the cool saxophone song. Oh, and I scratched out Vampires, which was the name of the song. I was lost for a minute there. Because I was like, the babe of the band is Vampires, and I was trying to find it. And then that's it. And then I just drew a little smiley face doing a dance, so.
Hell yeah.
I'll have to share all this on the Twitter.
You should. Absolutely. Yeah, yeah, man. Speaking of Midnight, I saw Midnight on Thursday? Yeah, they didn't go on until, I think, about midnight exactly, which I guess is fitting.
Oh,
But
were they the headliner?
Yeah, they were the headliner, thankfully. But still, it's tough. It's so tough.
Yeah. Yeah. Imagine being doing something like that just so you can avoid jokes about your band. It's like, oh, I saw a band called Midnight last night. Oh yeah, what time do they go on? 11:30.
The Door initially said they were going to go on at 11, and then this band of children blew their time hard, so that didn't happen.
Man, I think at a certain point you just gotta get kicked off the stage. That's the worst, when guys go over time.
Cut the sound.
Like cut the sound, and then just like shame them publicly, like with an alarm or something.
Yeah, I mean, I've been to shows where the sound guy will literally get on like the speakers and say, "Last song, guys."
Yeah, no, that's a pretty standard thing. When I used to play a lot, like the dudes would be like, "Hey, you got 5 minutes left." I'm like, tight. You got to respect the time, because other bands, I guess, nobody in the other bands had places to be other than, you know, in their beds.
Right.
But apparently, Athanar of Athanar, whatever, how you pronounce his name, the bass player and singer from Midnight, is in his 40s. And the dude is keeping it very trim. He didn't have a shirt on and was letting his six-pack fly. So I just wanted to give swole props to that guy. Wow. Good job, fella.
Okay.
It's tough, man. It's getting
I don't care
older.
What you look like. I don't care what you look like. Wear a fucking shirt.
What?
I don't care how hard you work out. Wear a fucking shirt, everybody.
You know the whole band's aesthetic, right? You know?
Even Matt Pike. Matt Pike, if you're listening to this, put on a shirt. Stop it.
That's the one that's gonna get mean letters to us.
Angry Matt Pike, put on a shirt.
Anyway, I was thinking about it for some reason. I guess because I was playing video games, but it seems to me that there, and I could be wrong on this. I refuse to do any research otherwise. But it seems to me that there are more video games coming out now than ever before, because of the explosion in indie game making. Mm-hmm. I mean, surely you guys have seen those. You know, sometimes you know, somebody will put one of these out and it'll become, you know, like a big deal. There's the deal with like Minecraft and
Undertale.
Like, Yeah, Undertale, yeah. Super Meat Boy, and The Binding of Isaac, those kinds of things. And I really, you know, it's very cool that you don't need, like, a massive studio to put out, you know, it still takes a ton of work to put out a video game, I'm sure, but you no longer have to require all the big studios and publishers and everything when you're able to put something out on Steam or on one of the other indie development channels on your own. And it got me to thinking, when I was a kid, there was a Flash game I remember playing called, I think it was called Emo Game. Did you ever hear that one?
Yes. Is that the one where you could be, like, the guy from At the Drive-In or Adam's Package, and you throw records?
Yeah, at posers.
At jocks. Yeah.
And the thing about this game that I remember back in the day is that it had so many, like, deep, deep cut songs on there that were just, like, mind-blowingly good. Like, I learned about this band I still love to this day, Christy Front Drive, and shit, what was that band that was about the JFK murder? And At the Drive-In.
Texas Is the Reason?
Texas Is the Reason, yeah. So many like cool bands that, like, honestly, like, probably would have been skipped for a generation if it didn't have some kind of, like, output in the MySpace era, which was, you know, this little free Flash game.
Hold on, guys. I'm writing it in my stoner notes. Texas Is the Reason.
It's okay. Also from the Misfits song.
That's yeah.
Where it comes from.
Yeah. Okay. Texas Is the Reason that, you know, the president's dead. That was a initial conspiracy was leveraged against, I can't remember which of the warring factions out to kill JFK that was.
Lyndon B. Johnson, Castro.
Yeah, yeah, the Texas Democratic Party, possibly in an effort to put LBJ in power. I don't know. One day we'll get my dad on the podcast. He's the only thing he cares about is football and JFK conspiracy theories.
We'll do the next April Fool's Day. We'll just get all our dads on the podcast.
Anyway, sorry, that was a complete aside. Anyway, it got me thinking about when I was really young and, you know, not really exposed to any kind of broader musical output, I learned about some of my favorite bands from video games. I think we can all agree that Tony Hawk's Pro Skater, you know, put mm-hmm. so many bands on the map for an entire generation. I mean, the Dead Kennedys, like, that probably, like, that being in Tony Hawk Pro Skater, putting Police Truck in that game, probably completely, like, cemented them as a legendary band, because it gave an audience for a new generation. If you go through, like, all of the series and the underground games, you know, you had, like, Entombed was on Tony Hawk's Underground, Motorhead, all of these great bands. And it wasn't just that, it was the other extreme games, the Matt Hoffman BMX games, and up to including what we talked with our buddy Kevin Gill, who worked on Backyard Wrestling, those games, the soundtracks included therein. And it seems like when you've got a young audience, you're able to feed them cool new music just kind of passively while they're playing your game. And it seems like there's a real huge opportunity for game makers to partner with independent metal musicians and pump all kinds of new and weird sounds towards kids that they might not be able to hear anywhere else. I mean, think about it. Somebody creating, what is the soccer game where you're in a car? Rocket League? Is that what it's called?
Yeah, that's Rocket League.
Yeah, think about putting out a clone of that, just then soundtrack is entirely grindcore. Could you possibly turn kids into, you know, Repulsion, or probably not, Anal Cunt, something like that?
turn them into jerks?
Yeah, I don't know. What do you think? Is there potential in this idea?
Certainly. I'm sure it's out there. Like, there's just such a mess of indie games, much in the same way that one would go to Encyclopedia Metalum and see, or Encyclopedia Metalum, I should say, and see, like, how there's too many metal bands. One can also log into Steam and see that there's just too many fucking indie games. So much bad stuff gets pumped out all the time. So I'm sure it exists. I'm sure there's metal themed ones. And I'm sure if you look into it, there's probably quite a bit. I know there's a black metal platformer where you play as a little black metal dude. Yeah. I don't know if there's actual music to it. If somebody can, you know, in the comments, tell me what that game is. But I've seen it kicking around Steam once or twice.
Well, you don't even need to go to indie games, really. I have, like, Madden 10 for PlayStation 2 that has Mastodon, it has Iron Maiden, it has Pantera, it has System of a Down. I mean, I know those are the big bands, but especially for a young kid who just wants to play football, that's a big deal.
There's a Mastodon song and a need... Go ahead.
Sorry, I agree wholeheartedly, and I think that there's, but like you were saying, these are the big bands. These are, you've got to have a Madden budget to license all of these songs from these big bands. So I think there's a way to like kind of have the little guys partner and help push audiences that way. Like with these indie games, maybe, you know, instead of paying like, you know, the full however many thousands of dollars it is to license a song, you just work out like a handshake agreement with a, you know, smaller metal bands to, they need more ears. You need a bigger audience for your game. Like you, pay you them, have something that nobody else has.
Yeah. Pay them in exposure dollars.
Not to harp on that, but when neither party really has money, like
that's right. No, I get it. I totally do. I've mentioned this on another podcast with you guys. I think it was one of the first few where maybe it could have been the one that where you first like interviewed me, but that's not metal.com. That whole thing got started when I wrote an article called Baseball Hats, where I talk about how baseball hats aren't metal. And that came from me playing the PlayStation 3 game, The Darkness. And your character could kind of go around and interact with the environment and turn on a TV. And there was a bunch of music videos on the TV. And one of them was by a Swedish metalcore band called The Duskfall. And they one of the guys was wearing just a baseball hat in this music video. And I'm just like, come fucking on, man. You're going to be in like a this big music video that's on a AAA game. And you're just freaking showing up with your scummy baseball hat. Like, give me a break. You couldn't comb your hair or some shit. So I just like, I just talked him out and shit about it. And that's how That Song Metal got started back in the day.
So this guy wearing a baseball cap pissed you off so much that you became an online personality among disaffected metal nerds.
That's right. It was like two dudes wearing a baseball hat. It was an unnecessary amount of guys that couldn't get it together that day.
Tight.
If we're talking about metal in video games, I always like to think about Maximum Carnage, the Spider-Man game.
Oh, on Super that had Nintendo. Green jelly, right?
Yeah,
oh,
it had the MIDI versions of Carnage Rules in the intro.
I remember that.
Yeah, totally. The Beavis and Butthead game came out for the Genesis and Super Nintendo, even though they were different games. Like the gameplay was different for both. The goal was the same, and that you needed to scrape up cash to go see Gwar, which is extremely tight.
When I was younger, I used to play on the computer Carmageddon and Carmageddon 2.
Yes.
It was like the drive around, like kind of demolition derby, but running over people, like all absurd violence. The first soundtrack had a bunch of Fear Factory songs, but they were just instrumental. And the second one had a bunch of Iron Maiden songs on it.
Yeah. In Twisted Metal, I think they had a Rob Zombie song. It was like Dracula, obviously.
Yeah, no, I recall that too. I remember playing this, it was a knockoff of Twisted Metal. It was a game called Rogue Trip that had a Mighty Mighty Boss Zone song, that band that love, Jordan. It's a good song. It was the Rascal King. That was a tight song, man.
Nothing makes me want to run people over more than two-stepping, you know, horn-infected Scott.
That's right. Get your checkered belts out, guys.
Well, I mean, like, here's the thing, though. Like, I liked that song so much that I bought the fucking cassette for that Mighty Mighty Boss Zone song album however ago, just because I heard it in a video game. What I'm trying to say here is, man, like, there's an association that people make with music when they're playing games, and I think it needs to be ruthlessly exploited by metal bands. That's how I'm feeling right now.
So you're saying Crotch Monster needs to hook up with an indie developer?
Yes, right. Absolutely. Also, like, because we're on that whole tip, there aren't enough vehicular manslaughter games You know, the
Grand Theft Auto has the monopoly on that now.
Yeah, but you can't strap, like, you know, rocket launchers and machine guns to your ice cream truck in Grand Theft Auto. We need to get back to our Twisted Metals, our Carmageddons, our Interstate 76s.
Crazy Taxi.
Yeah, Crazy Taxi is probably my favorite game ever, but it doesn't include machine guns or killing pedestrians. But, you know, they could always reboot it, make it grittier.
Yeah, they could. Get Christopher Nolan involved.
Get in. Let's go make some crazy money.
Where's the cab fare? Thanks, dude.
Could you take me to the baseball stadium?
Yes.
Rattle some cages.
Where's the baseball stadium?
So yeah, they just fucking mark that down as another good idea that if there was, you know, any justice in the world, our audience for this podcast would simply be entrepreneurs that are looking to make a mint because we're full of them.
Sick. What about, I mean, there was metal in other cool shit when we were kids, like all those cartoons back in the day. They used to have some really sick openings, like Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. Give me a fucking break. That shit was so hype.
Excellent solo.
Yeah.
Wait, I think I might have been confusing the intro to Mighty Morphin Power Rangers with Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. How did it go?
What did the Power Rangers song go like? It went... Witty, 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 wee, witty, willy, 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 wee. Go, go, Power Rangers. Fucking sick as hell. Rita came back. She came back. She was like, after 10,000 years, I'm free. It's time to conquer Earth. Next scene, Zordon, big guy with the face tube. He was like, Alpha, I need you to recruit a team of teenagers with attitude. Specifically, he needed a team of teenagers with attitude, and by God, he got these 30-somethings that pretended to be teenagers. But it was great.
Well, you don't want teens with apathy fighting your battle for you, do you?
Attitude is a must. And then there was this rip-roaring solo. I heard that a former guitarist or a guitarist at the time for Megadeth was involved in the composition of that song. I could be wrong.
Marty Friedman?
I don't think so. I think it might have been one of the...
Not weeby enough.
Well, Power Rangers are from Japan, so there is a connection.
It's super weeby, yeah.
So what was the deal? Like, Haim Saban, like, he just, like, bought for, like, nothing all of this Japanese footage of, like, the monsters and Rita Repulsa and stuff and just, like, dubbed over it? Was that the deal?
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, he dubbed over the Japanese stuff, but then he, of course, made all those cool-ass, like... scenes where they're in the juice bar wearing their like workout gear. Yeah, Balkan Skull.
So basically they had two sets that he paid for, one at their school and one at the juice bar. And then everything else was just like purchased from some Japanese entity for nothing.
Exactly. Brilliant. And there was a bunch of them. There was what was it, Virtua Fighters or whatever? No. VR Troopers, that's what I'm thinking. Virtua Fighter was the fighting game.
And Superhuman Samurai Cyber Squad.
Big Bad Beetleborgs, something like that.
Yeah. You also had a Masked Rider, the dude that looked like the bug, and he had like a motorcycle, and it was sick. There was one that was all American, and it was terrible. It was like tattooed teenage alien fighters or some shit, and it was just like they didn't get it. They tried to copy Power Rangers, but it was like all original American footage, and it was terrible.
When it comes to rubber monsters, Japanese, they're just head and shoulders above the rest of us.
They got it, man.
Yeah. I really, in terms of like metal music for kids stuff, I think we can all agree that the GOAT. The greatest of all time of that would be the instrumental opener to the X-Men animated series.
It's pretty great.
I'd say Power Rangers is up there, but that's pretty great. That was great. Oh, it's so great.
There's a Dark Tranquility song. There's a Dark Tranquility song that steals that riff.
Oh, rules. Bastards.
Like, straight up.
Well, terrible. The ending of it's like do 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 do
do do do do do do do do. Yeah. And they're fucking flipping out around the X-Men logo. They're just back flipping and karate lasers and shit all around the X-Men logo. It's great. Blowing our minds when we were kids.
Yeah, basically the hardest Ingwe composition.
If only the actual animation of the show was as good as the opening.
I'm going to be honest with you, man. I think I only remember like one episode of that show. It was whatever one was with Mojo, the TV monster.
Yeah, with Longshot, they go to Mojo's planet and they're on different like episodes. And yeah, I know what you're talking about. I've seen a lot of episodes of the X-Men cartoon and the Spider-Man cartoon from the same time.
Yeah, Spider-Man cartoon did not have as good of an opening.
No, but it had, I think it was done by, what's his name, Joe Perry from Aerosmith?
Yeah, really? That makes it awful.
Yeah.
Yeah, no wonder it was so bad. What else had some good
Transformers.
Metal? Yeah, for sure.
Well, how did the Transformers the song go? Because I don't think I remember it.
You're just going to have to listen to it, aren't you?
I've seen the fucking the movie from the 80s that has Stan Bush's "You Got the Touch."
Doo doo. That was a good one. Yeah.
Although
you got the power.
The best use of that was Dirk Diggler and Boogie Nights covering it.
Yeah.
Thundercats theme song was good.
How did that one? I don't know how any of these went, man. Like,
it went like thunder, 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 cats, and it was hype.
With some good little solos and lots of horns. It was, as the kids say, epic.
Yeah, man. The Pokemon one was pretty rocking. It's riffs.
And the Poke Rap?
Well, not the Poke Rap, fuck itself. Alright.
I mean, like, all of these songs, the one thing they've got in common is just like the cheesiest high gain 80s guitar, soloing like mad in the background.
Which yeah.
It's pretty tight.
Do you guys remember the Canadian Mega Man cartoon? That had a pretty hype opening. I don't know if it was real guitar or synth, but it was great.
Man, I remember watching it, but I don't remember the intro.
Super Fighting Robot! Mega Man! He was a super fighting robot. That's all you had to know.
Isn't he like part man though? Because he's mega, but he's also man.
No,
no,
he's all robot. He's created by Dr. Light.
Ask the ladies.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Robot. Was it Dr. Eggman that was the enemy there?
Oh God! Get up! All right, that's it. I'm done. Show's over.
Sonic.
Jesus Christ! It was Dr. Wily. He was a different evil doctor. Dr. Eggman, as Jordan said, was Sonic.
Okay, AKA Dr. Robotnik.
I was going to say, are you sure it wasn't Dr. Robotnik? Because it is a robot. He is a Mega Man.
Well, Eggman, I think, was just the like
Japanese
title form originally. Okay. And they just call him Dr. Robotnik to kind of liven it up a bit. Because we're America, we make everything better.
This is too complicated. I mean, the next thing you're going to tell me, there's a difference between Princess Toadstool and Princess Peach.
Oh no, those are two totally different people. It's true.
Oh, fuck.
No, it's the same person. Okay. Person, same, you know, cartoon. That sucks at not getting captured.
I think that's all I've got, man. Is there anything that you guys wanted to get in on before this episode we end it?
I think the next episode should just be us mouthing and making noises to theme songs we like. Just right. For like an hour going, wee, 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 wee.
Right. Trying to find the most obscure theme songs we can think of. And then just trying to explain them to each other through mouth.
I remember a television show that would come on at like 5 a.m. for some reason. I was awake watching when I was a very little kid. I think it was called Samurai Pizza Cats.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
The theme song for that pretty well. Samurai Pizza Cats! I think there were other lyrics, but that's all I got.
For all my fellow weebies out there, we The American Dragon Ball Z opening was metal as shit.
How does it go?
It goes, Dragon, Dragon, Pump the Dragon, Dragon Ball Z, wow, wow. It's fucking sick. Whereas, like, the original Japanese one was a lot like the typical, you know, croony 90s kind of Japanese anime stuff. It totally didn't match.
Yeah, the heartfelt, like, crooning songs. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
There's a woman singing about capturing a young boy's heart.
No. It's about training a dinosaur to dance on a ball and stuff. It's great.
I know that song. It's Everybody Walk the Hikari. Dinosaur.
Fly away.
Also, next episode, we're going to... if we don't have that guest on that I've been talking to, we're going to be talking about that thing that everybody loves, gear. We're going to be talking about guitars... cables, strings. Those are
1052s, bro.
Old patch standby cables. That's different from a cable.
Pedals. Can't forget pedals.
Batteries.
Tubes.
Drumsticks.
Tubes. Tubes. And look, hey, you know what? This is shit you guys should not check out for. And like, I've had metal fans in the past be like, dude, Breno, do you have to talk about this shit? Like, who really cares? And I'm just like, you should care. Every metal fan should know how their music is created. So, you might learn something. It might be an interesting show. You should come on by.
Plus, we're going to seriously clown on everyone that buys gear that we wouldn't buy.
That's right. And that's what we're here for. That's what makes it fun.
All right, buddies. This has been your weekly hour of Toilet Radio. I have been Joe Thrash and Kill. Who have you fellows been?
I've been Brentside.
365 Days of Horror.
I guess that's it for this week. We'll see you next week.
Keep it metal, bros.
Bye.
Previously on X-Men.
Listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.